shy stand, kind of boop, amen. Everybody say boop, boop. All right, that's what that was. And so I appreciate their being here tonight, and I'm so privileged to be back with you. How many of you were here last night? Would you put your hand up? All right, everyone that has their hand up must be really bored, all right, or really sympathetic. You came last night, heard the message, and came back again. Well, you're trying to make me feel good. I appreciate that. How many of you were not here last night? You're here tonight, all right? All right, and how many of you didn't raise your hand either time? That means you don't know where you are, all right? All right, we're glad you're here. What a joy it is. Isn't it good to be in a place where God's people can meet together? I'm so thankful we can be in a nation that we're allowed to do this. There are places where you can't do this. Let's not take freedom for granted, amen, and the fact that we're here today. God met with us last night. We do not take his presence for granted. We do not want to act like it's not a big deal that the God of all gods, the King of Kings, would meet with us. What a privilege and what an opportunity. And I'm so thrilled, and we're so glad that revival can still take place among God's people. And I'm trusting. Should I leave this here? You want me to leave that there? Okay. Look, when the sound woman in the back starts looking at you, you better listen. All right, now, it's really not fair when they put a woman in the sound booth, because that just scares me. All right, I pastor a church full of women that love to tell me what to do, and I was raised by a black woman. I don't know if you knew that, but anyway, she just thinking about her gives me nightmares. You know, you ain't never gotten beat till you get beat by a black woman. There's one thing that all black women have in common. They're all crazy, all right? I've not met this dear lady tonight, but I did meet her last night. I met her for a little bit. I don't know much about her, but it appears she's black. And I just want to let you know, without having an extensive conversation with her, just looking at her, I know she's crazy, all right? And there's a man. Are you married to her? He's nodding his head, all right? He's crazy. And even a greater witness of her craziness, it's otherwise known as cray cray, is the young man behind her. You see, he can tell you that when black women start to discipline you, instantly they become freestyle rappers, all right? And they start saying stuff to you, and they do it all in rhythm. I told you not to do it, bad boy, bad boy. What you gonna do when I'm done beating you? I mean, listen to me. Y'all are laughing, but I'm telling you something. She and all of the other black women in America should be in jail, all right? They really should be. They really should be. But the truth of the matter is, it's black women like that that keep us out of jail, amen? And I'm thankful for a mother who, as she told me while she did it, beat the devil out of me, all right? She used to say, I will kill you and turn myself in, all right? You know, nowadays these children are threatening their parents. I'm going to call the police. My mom said, I'll call them for you. All right. I'm going to run away. I'll pack your bags. All right. And I still believe that the children ought to be more afraid of the parents than the parents are of the children. Can I get a witness in here? And so we're so thankful. I am so thankful for a godly heritage. Yes, she's a godly woman, and she's crazy, all right? And so I'm thankful for that. A joy to be here tonight, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 24, and I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet, if you would, for the reading of God's word. We okay? Genesis, chapter number 24. Genesis 24. Now, let me tell you something. If by now you're still looking for Genesis, you got issues, all right? Okay, now, if you haven't found it yet, stop where you are, look up, and fake it till you make it, all right? And when you go home tonight, read over the table of contents in your Bible, and you're going to shoot yourself in the foot when you realize that Genesis was the first book in the Bible. All right, everybody in Genesis, say amen. Amen. Chapter number 24, say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did I tell you chapter 24?
Yes.
Good. Somebody said no, sir. Okay. That means you weren't listening. Go stand in timeout. No, I'm just kidding. Genesis 24. Now I want us to pick up reading in verse number 26. I love to hear them pages turn. Amen. That means we got our Bibles with us. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute, my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Our Father, one more time, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word, for it is already blessed. As your vessel tonight, I pray that you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Now, Lord, for those of us that were here last night, we clearly sensed your presence. We thank you for the souls that were saved, the lives that were changed. We thank you for this altar that was saturated on a Monday night with people that were serious about having something in them. Lord, we are still rejoicing over what you did last night, but yesterday was Monday and today is Tuesday, and we can't ride on Tuesday off of Monday. We need something fresh from you, something real. Do it like only you can. Bless now the preaching of the word of God. Bless our sons while we're gone. Watch over them. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Now in chapter number 23, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, died and left a big hole in his life. They'd been married for a long time. They had gone through a lot together. And now that Sarah had died in chapter 23 and chapter 24, Abraham is old, stricken in years, clearly getting close to the point of death himself. As he got closer to the time he would leave earth and go to be with his maker, without a doubt, a number of things came to his mind, a number of burdens, and a number of tasks that he wanted to make sure he got done before he died. But I want to tell you, there was no task that meant more to him before he died than the task of finding his son Isaac a wife. If you'll study the book of Genesis, you'll remember that Abraham and Sarah didn't have a child. God told them that they would have a child. Sarah laughed. Abraham believed. But, you know, they went outside of the will of God, acting as if they had to help God. Now, watch this now. Let's not put our finger down at Abraham and get on him too bad. Because how many times has God told us something and we think we got to help him out? And so they tried to help God. But God didn't need our help. Aren't you glad that God is God all by himself? I'm going to bless you with a child. And here comes this old woman past the point of bearing children. Yet God gives her a child. Isaac is that miracle child. He's that blessing from Almighty God. It was through Isaac that God was going to fulfill the promise that God was going to multiply Abraham's seed as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. He was going to bless them that blessed Abraham and curse them that cursed Abraham. And in Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. It was through Abraham that God was going to build up a nation by the name of Israel, and God was going to work his plan, and the entire Old Testament is going to be centered around the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. I'm just trying to tell you the promises of God were hinging on the life of Isaac. So since God's promises would be fulfilled through Isaac, it was very, very important that Isaac find the right wife. How many in the building think that men need to marry the right wife? All right? It was important for Isaac to find the right wife. It was important to Abraham. It was important to prophecy. It was important to Almighty God. So here's what Abraham did. He slated his eldest servant, Eliezer, to go back to his homeland to locate Isaac a wife and to bring her back to him. This was a big deal. I want you to imagine Abraham saying to this servant, now listen here, my eldest servant, my choicest servant, the one that I trust the most. My son Isaac needs a wife. It can't be just any wife. It's got to be the right wife. You've got to go and find her. You've got to locate her, convince her to follow you and to come back here, and she better be right. Can you imagine what this servant must have been thinking? How can I pick her? How will I know if she's right? What if she's gorgeous, but she doesn't love God? What if she loves God, but she... ain't never seen nobody like her before. What if that happens? We talking about ugly babies, now we talking about ugly ladies. No, but anyway, what if? What if, listen, there was no room for failure. Failure was not an option. This was not a time where he could get her, bring her back and say, well, as long as I get you back in 30 days, I can turn you back in, get my money back. No. This had to happen, and it had to happen right. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The entire rest of history, the entire Old Testament is resting on this choice. Could you listen to me tonight? This servant was leaving the house with an important task on his shoulder, and he had to get it right. He could not mess up. Couldn't be close. He couldn't be almost. He couldn't be in the ballpark. He couldn't be in proximity. No. He had to find the right wife for Isaac. So when he left the house from his master, he left needing help. He left needing direction. He left needing leadership. He left under pressure. You can't imagine the weight of pressure on this servant to get this thing right. He needed somebody to lead him, to guide him, to direct him. He needed a credible GPS system that would lead him to the exact spot, to the exact woman, to bring her back to his master's son Isaac. He needed help. I want to tell you what I love about Genesis 24. Not only did he need it, he got it. I said he got it. He needed leadership. He got leadership. He needed help. He got help. He needed guidance. He got guidance. He needed direction. He got direction. He didn't just get it from anybody, and he didn't just get it from anywhere. He wasn't led by a matchmaker. He wasn't hooked up with eHarmony.com. He didn't get signed up to Christian Mingle Single. No. I want to tell you, there was no Cupid in Genesis chapter 24. God didn't send an angel, and God didn't assign a taskmaster for this. This servant said in Genesis 24, verse number 7, the Lord led me. I want all of us to say that together. The Lord led me. Say it again. The Lord led me. Now listen to me. Don't you say biblical phrases like they're no big deal. It's a big deal for God to lead you. I said, it's a big deal for God to lead you. He said, Almighty God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Nissi, our banner, Jehovah Rapha, our shepherd, Jehovah Ra'a, our healer, Jehovah Shalom, our peace, Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord, who is our righteousness, Jehovah Makadish, our sanctifier, the heart knower of all, the heart sustainer of all, the creator of all, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent everywhere at the same time, immutable, He can't change, eternal. He was, he is to come. This servant said, that very God that made me, shaped me, formed me, breathed life into me, that very God that saw me in my mother's womb, in my unmasked skeletal form when I was yet a fetus and an embryo, that same God that guided me through the birth canal, wrote my DNA code, determined whether I was a boy or a girl, that same God who put the stars in place and the moon in space and the sun hanging on nothing that it never falls, that same God that took from the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and painted the earth with mountains and tapestries and daffodils and put the seas where they were that they wouldn't run into each other and fish in the sea. That same God that created the firmament so that it gathers together and develops clouds and then sends down precipitation and brings the sun out so that same process now sucks it back up by way of evaporation. That very God got out in front of me and led me. Here's what I want you to see. He wasn't led because he was lucky. Please listen tonight. He wasn't led because he hit the lottery. He wasn't led because of who his daddy was. He wasn't led because somebody slapped him upside the head. He wasn't led because he was some extra special person with good genes. The scripture tells us in Genesis 24, this is why he was led. He made this statement, I being in the way. Here's what he learned. There is a spot. There is a place. There is a zone. There is a bullseye. There is a position where I can get and where I must get. And if I'm there in the center of God's will, if I'm where God can control me, if I'm where God wants me, if I'm where God's designed me to be, than God, all of him, all that God is, all that God ever was, and all that God ever will be, will get out in front of me and lead me. Listen to me now. I know this is not deep, but it bears repeating. Listen to me now. When God leads you, you cannot go wrong. When God leads you, you cannot fail. When God leads you, you don't make a wrong turn. When God leads you, you never say, oops. When God leads you, you never say, my bad. When God leads you, you never say, what had happened was. No, when God leads you, you get it right every single time. And I'm glad when somebody needed help that he got help from Almighty God. But he had to be in the way. Now, here we are on a Tuesday night. Raise your hand if you went to work today. Raise your other hand if you're tired. Shake your head if you're hungry. Listen to me. If you didn't answer affirmative to any of those questions, I'll tell you this about you without even talking to you. If you're living in 2022, you're living under pressure. If you're a daddy, you're under pressure. If you're a mama, you're under pressure. If you're a wife, you're under pressure. If you're a young person, you're under pressure. If you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, you're under pressure. Whether you're married or single, whether you're older or you're younger, we're living under pressure. And here we are. We come into church, and every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, the preacher says, do right and step up and live right and act right and talk right and think right and dress right and keep your marriage together. And young people, stay pure. And don't listen to the wrong music. And don't go to the wrong places. Don't say the wrong words. And last night we talked about sin that will destroy you and grieve you. And we hear that all the time. We go, yeah. I hear everything you're saying. But sometimes we leave church and hear everything that the Bible tells us to do. And we go, I heard what you said, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. I've never enjoyed God more than I'm enjoying him right now in my life. And yet I've never felt more under pressure than I feel right now. Listen, when this fella left the house, failure is not an option. And I'm saying to you tonight, wherever you are, if it comes to living for God, listen to me now, it ought to be that failure's not an option. And here we are, I'm preaching to people who desperately need revival. I'm telling you to do right and to honor God and to serve God. And yet there's a world out there and a devil out there and a flesh that we fight with every day. If you can't sense spiritual warfare in our world right now, I don't know where you are. Our marriages are getting crushed. Our kids are under attack. Our absolutes are being shifted. Morality is being thrown out the window. Politicians don't know what they're doing. Lawmakers can't even seem to interpret the law. Wrong has become right, and right has become wrong. They're trying to throw the Bible out the window. Truth is falling in the streets, and yet here we stand trying to figure out how to live for God and do right every single day under pressure. We need help. We need guidance. We need direction. We need leadership. We need a GPS system that will direct us to a foolproof spot that says we'll get it right every time. Well, I got news for you on a Tuesday night. You not only need help, need direction, need leadership, and need guidance. Guess what? You can find it. Amen. There's a God in heaven who will lead every man, lead every woman, every boy, and every girl. He'll lead you every single time. You won't go wrong if you follow him. You won't mess up if you follow him. You get in line behind Almighty God. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat or whether you're from this side of the tracks or the other side of the tracks. We don't need a revival in politics. We need a revival with Christians who get in line behind Almighty God and let God lead them. But here's the problem. He won't lead you if you're not in the way. And I tell you what's happened with a lot of Christians. They've fallen out of the way. Now tonight, very quickly, I want to give you several principles from this servant's life of what being in the way means. And I'm not talking to a specific person tonight. I'm talking to everybody. So don't anybody in the building go, well, this message doesn't apply to me. Sometimes I hear people say, boy, that message, I sure wish what's-her-name was here tonight. And I say, you are what's-his-name. Amen? It's me, oh Lord. Somebody, one of the church members came up to me tonight and said, you know what I determined last night? Instead of saying, God, change somebody else, I'm going to say, God, you change me. Listen to me. You can't decide what everybody else does, but you can decide what you do. I being in the way. Now look, point number one, what does it take to be in the way? Number one, submission. It takes submission. Now I want you to listen to this servant being called in by his master. The Bible said, verse number two, the servant said unto the eldest, Abraham said unto the eldest servant, ruled over all he had, put thy hand under my thigh. That was a symbol of submission. He was swearing when he put his hand under Abraham's thigh that he was going to do what Abraham said. Now watch this now. The master was ordering the servant. Please don't miss this. The servant doesn't tell the master what to do. The master tells the servant what to do. I hate to bust your bubble, but the day you got saved, you belong to somebody else. What know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. For as much as we know we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood. Did you hear those girls signing tonight? With the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Listen, when nobody could afford you and when everybody else didn't want you, aren't you glad that the only one that could did? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I know we like to be in charge. I know we like to call the shots. I know we like Burger King religion. Have it your way. But this is not Burger King. This is not Kumbaya. This is not American Idol. This is the work of God. And extra read all about it, Christian. You have a master. And you can't be in the way if you're not submissive. In this chapter, very quickly, we saw he was submissive to his master's words. Three times we see in the scripture, Abraham said, Abraham said, Abraham said. Look at here, just a moment. Listen, if you're going to submit to your master, and by the way, Jesus is your master, guess what? You got to submit to his words. Amen. I hear people say all the time, I know what the Bible says, but. I know what God's word says, but. I know the Bible says I shouldn't do it, but. I know the Bible says I need to do it, but. Listen to me. Anytime you say I know what the Bible says, but, that means you're not in the way if you don't submit to the master's words. You're not in the way if you don't submit to the master's wishes. You're not in the word if you don't submit to the master's will. It's amazing. It's all here in Genesis 24. Abraham said to the master, you can't get her from here. You got to go back to my homeland. You can't take Isaac to her. You got to bring her back to Isaac. These are wishes of the masters. We never find in the story where the servant goes, well, I don't really think that's the best way to do it. I think that the woman should be able to stay and Isaac need to go to her. And the truth of the matter is I've been scoping around and the women around here look way better than the women back where you come from, Uncle Abe. No. Abraham was the master. Listen to me now. The master does not have to explain himself to the servant. The next time God tells you to do something, stop telling God you have a better way and submit to the master. There's a reason you're the servant and he's the master. Somebody say amen. Now, number one, it requires submission. Number two, it requires supplication. I want you to imagine this servant saying to the master, Yes, sir. Absolutely. Back to your homeland. Find her. Absolutely. Bring her back. You got it. I'll be back in just a little bit with a beautiful girl. She'll be the right woman. You'll be so happy and we'll just be finished. And I imagine he leaves up out the house and probably goes, what in the world did I just agree to? You ever said yes to the Lord and then wondered how you're going to figure it out? Some of you young ladies in here, you've already drawn up the colors of your wedding. You've already picked out your wedding dress. You already know how many bridesmaids you're going to have, how many flowers, where you're going to have it, what you're going to serve. You know what the cake's going to look like. You know whether you're going to have little special favors. You know what you're going to put on your little registry. You know how your invitations are going to look. You know how the auditorium is going to be decorated. And you know how you're going to walk down the aisle. And you know all the music that's going to be played at your wedding. You got it all figured out. You just don't have a groom. And then you say, I do. And then here comes the devil attacking your marriage. And you say, I said I wanted to get married, but I never knew it'd be this hard. You go to youth conference and everybody's going down the aisle, surrendering to Jesus. And you think, man, this thing looks so easy while everybody's in this big auditorium serving Jesus. And then you get back home and you go to that public school and you go, now how am I going to pull this off? I'll tell you, it's going to take submission. Number two, it's going to take supplication. Notice what this servant did. He prayed. Everybody say he prayed. He prayed. Listen to me. That's what he did. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says after he said yes to Abraham, he put his hand under the thigh. The Bible says, verse number 12, he said, oh, Lord God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn when we're under pressure to pray. We've learned how to complain. We've learned how to whine. We learn how to get attitudes. We learn how to pout. We've learned how to blame shift. Philippians chapter 4 said, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. The world has given us medicine. They've given us psychology. They've given us psychiatry. They've given us therapy. They've given us punching bags. They've given us golf. They've given us stress balls. They've given us poetry. They've given us coffee. They've given us drugs. They've given us alcohol. That is not the answer to the pressure problem in mankind's life. The answer to pressure has been and always will be prayer. And we don't pray enough. I said we don't pray enough. Well, I just got too much on my plate. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Well, I just can't figure it out. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, I got a roadblock in my life. Asking it shall be given. Seeking ye shall find. Knocking it shall be opened unto you. Well, I don't understand why God won't answer. Whatsoever ye ask, believing, ye shall receive. Well, I don't know why he doesn't come through. We walk by faith and not by sight. Well, I just need God to help me. Ye have not because you ask not. You're not going to read enough books to have a successful marriage. You're not going to watch enough Dr. Phil to raise your kids right. You better get down on your knees and get through to God. He prayed. Specifically, he prayed. Lord, let it be when I ask the woman for water, let her offer water to me and the camels, and let that be proof that that's the right woman. Can I say to everybody in the building, I want to encourage you to learn how to pray specific prayers. God bless my finances. God take care of my children. God give me the right situation. God put me, listen to me, I go to the mall, I pray for a park. I pray for everything. Listen to me, God is not a genie in a bottle. He's our Father. I believe one of the reasons why we've had a well-attended revival, I believe one of the reasons why the altars were packed last night, I believe one of the reasons why two people got saved, I believe one of the reasons why God has met with us in the revival is because weeks before this revival, there were members, including this pastor, his family, and other people in the church who begged God to come through. Let me tell you something. He's not the big daddy upstairs, the butler you ring the bell for when you're thirsty, or a prefix to your cuss word. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm telling you, he wants to hear your prayer. There's supplication in the way. Number three, there's success in the way. Now, a few moments ago, I told you to say he prayed. Now, watch this now. Say this. God answered his prayer. Now, watch this now. He went up to one of the women, and he said, would you give water to me? Now, watch this now. Guess what she said? I have water for you and the camels. Oh my goodness. Do you see that? Go back, if you would, to verse number 17. The servant ran to meet her and said, let I pray thee, draw a little water of the pitcher. Verse 18, she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened to let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she was done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for the camels also until they have done drinking. Ding, 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 ding. Watch this now. That's exactly what I asked God. Hey, listen to me. You can't get anything better than knowing you ask God for something and exactly what you ask him for, God does. Amen. That's what God's in the business of doing. Answering our prayers. He prayed specifically and God answered specifically. He asked for protection. God gave him protection. He asked for provision. God gave him provision. He asked for prayers. God gave him his prayers. Let me tell you something. God wants to answer your prayer. I get sick and tired of Christian people that tell me they're walking with God and never experience any success. Now, I told you last night, I keep it real. If you're in the way, let me tell you something. God is blessing what you're doing. It doesn't mean you don't have trials. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. It doesn't mean you don't have difficulties. It doesn't mean you have don't have tough days. But I'm here to tell you, when you're walking in the will of God, God takes care of your needs. And if he's not, you better check out where you're walking. There's submission in the way. Everybody say submission. There's supplication. Say supplication. There's success. Everybody say success. Now here's one of my favorites. There's shouting in the way. Everybody say shouting. There's shouting in the way. Now watch this now. Once he found out, this is the girl. Watch it. This is it. I left the house and I told my master I would bring out the right girl, and I signed on to it and I put my hand on his thigh and he's expecting me to come back and I don't want to disappoint my master. I mean, listen, how many people in the building live and say, I don't want to disappoint my master? Listen, when I don't do right, I disappoint the one who gave his life for me. I don't want to face Jesus one day and not hear well done. We're going to face our master one day. Listen, he knew he was going to have to look at Abraham one day. He said, I don't want to go back to the master having failed him. It's about time. Failing Jesus meant as much to us as failing some other people. And all of a sudden he says, Lord, I'm looking for a woman that'll give water to me and the camels. And he asked the woman for water and she says, I'll give it to you and the camels. And all of a sudden he must have been thinking like Gomer Pyle, Shazam. Listen to me now. Boom, shakalaka-laka. Exactly what I was looking for happened. This is the woman. This is Isaac's wife. Like, I've located her. I'm about to talk to her about coming back with me. I'm going to make my master happy. The rest of the Old Testament's going to be okay. God's going to fulfill his promises like they can finish writing the Bible. You know what I'm saying? If I get this thing right, before he finished the deal, he stopped in the middle of where he was in verse 27, said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master. Listen to me. He's shouting in the middle of where he was. He's praising God. He's worshiping God. He's shouting to Almighty God. He's lifting up God. Let me tell you something. When you hang out in the way and God is leading you, you don't have a problem stopping wherever you are and worshiping God. I have a problem with people that tell me they're in the way and they can't praise God. They can't worship. I told you last night, you don't have to be an aisle runner. You don't have to be a hanky waver. You don't have to be a hand clapper. You don't have to be a foot stomper. You don't have to be somebody that screams and lets out squeals in the church. But don't tell me you're in the way and you never have a praise in you. I tell our people, if you don't shout, if you don't clap, if you don't stomp, if you don't wave, if you don't dance, good gracious alive, grab one of them offering envelopes out the pew in front of you and write down amen. But good gracious, do something. How in the world can a God lead us in this crazy world and we not bother to praise him? How much today did you praise God? Well, Pastor, there's a lot. I went to work, and work wore me out. I got on the road, and traffic slowed me down. I ordered some food, and the food wasn't fresh. I went to my bank account, and there wasn't enough money there. I ran into somebody in church that gets on my nerves. Yeah, but God woke you up this morning. I said, God woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. You sin every day, and yet God keeps you saved. He hasn't taken the Holy Spirit from you. Your name's still written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got a Bible that's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You got a God that answers the phone every time you call. Never busy, never out of the office, never gives you a secretary, never on vacation, never get a busy signal. Listen to me. He's too good to us to not praise him. I don't need a rock praising God for me. I don't need somebody else. Listen to me. Somebody in the building right where you are ought to recognize what God has done and praise him. Don't tell me you're in the way and you got more sulking than you do shouting. If you've lost your praise, you might have lost your place. Oftentimes people tell me, I just can't praise God anymore because I've gone through so much. Now, praise is never about what you go through. It's about who's going through it with you. Amen. Everybody say submission. Submission. Supplication. Submission. Success. Yes. Shouting. Now let me give you a couple more. their steadfastness in the way. Now, if I had time, I mean, it took me weeks to preach through this chapter in our church. But now, let's follow the story. Abraham assigns his servant to find Isaac a wife. The servant agrees, submits. The servant leaves in supplication, asks God to help him. The servant asks the woman for water. She offers to him and the camels. So now he's got success. Upon discovering success, the servant starts shouting. Now, this girl has clearly identified herself as God's choice for Isaac, and now she's bringing this servant to her house. He's meeting her family. He gets to the family and explains to them in such a clear way why he's here. I'd have liked to have been there to listen to that fella say, "Y'all must not know what I've been through. My servant is back home waiting on me to come back with your daughter." He must look at her brother and say, "My servant is waiting for me to come back home with your sister. My servant, my master, Abraham, and his wife, who is now deceased, had a baby when they were old and stricken in years. My master, who I serve, he's a miracle baby. His name is Isaac. God did it. I left the house and I told my master that I would be his servant and I would bring a wife back to his wife. Y'all, I was scared. I was nervous. I was worried. I was burdened. But before I left, I prayed. And I begged God to help me. Ma'am, I want you to know something, that after I prayed, I ran into your daughter. And I asked her if she'd give me water. And you know what your daughter said? She offered water to me and the camels. And y'all weren't there when I did it. But that's exactly what I asked God for. I'm convinced, ma'am, I'm convinced, sir, that your daughter, your sister, is God's choice for my master's son. Now, I want you to notice what happens later on in verse number 55. After he says all of this, the Bible says, her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go." Now, here's what mama and brother are saying. "Well, yeah, sounds like a good idea. And, you know, this is my daughter." And he says, "Yeah, this is my sister. And, you know, we don't mind her going, but we'd like to have a little bit more time with her. Can she stay about 10 more days and then we'll let her go?" And this fella, in so many words, in verse 56 says, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." Let me do a little bit of Kenny Baldwin paraphrasing. This fella looks at them after they ask for 10 extra days and says to them, "Let me tell you something. I left the house scared. I left the house under pressure. I left the house nervous. I left the house having promised my master I was going to bring this woman back. I prayed. God answered. This is the girl. I found out who she is. I know she is. This is God's choice. This is God's will. This is a miracle baby back there. He's got to have a wife. She is the right wife. I know she's your daughter. I know she's your sister. But she is my master's son's wife. And God has blessed me. God has helped me. God has guided me. God has directed me. And you think I'm about to mess this thing up now? Girl, you better kiss your mama, you better dap up your brother, and you better get your blessed assurance on this here camel, because we are going back to the house." And yet, time after time, God blesses us, and after all that he's done, we don't seal the deal. "God, if you just give me a good church, God, if you just bless me with a good church, with a pastor that'll preach the word of God, and members that love me, and just give me a place where I can hear the truth every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night," and then he blesses you and you don't come. "Don't get quiet on me. If you just give me a job, God, oh, if you just give me a job, God, just give me a job that I could just take care of my family and honor you, God, just bless me with a job." And then he does, and you don't tithe. I tell our people, don't get nervous about when I start talking about tithing. I haven't even started talking about your money yet. The tithe is the Lord's. "Well, I can't afford to tithe." You can't afford not to tithe. Because when you get on your knees and start begging God about your finances, you don't want to say, "Hi, God, remember me? I'm the one that robbed you. Would you bless me?" I've known young men that asked God to get them to Bible college, then they quit. This fella was too blessed to put off obedience. Look at me. What has God told you to do that you want 10 more days before you have to do it? Oh, God, I'll get right. I'll start giving. I'll start praying. I'll start obeying. I'll start being a soul winner. I'll have a better attitude. I'll change these things in my life eventually. God's been too good to you for eventually. It's time to get this thing right now. There's steadfastness in the way. I'm closing. There's satisfaction in the way. Here goes Rebecca on the camel. She's going with the servant. Yes, sir. Look at mama. Girl, this servant here look real serious. Honey, I love you. I'm going to miss you. Maybe you can come see me on Thanksgiving and Christmas. But the way this guy is about doing right, I think y'all listen. Get on the camel. Here comes the servant and Rebecca on the camel. Now look at verse number 63. Isaac went out to meditate. All right, let's all meditate. Y'all, come on, meditate with me. And y'all do yoga. Now, I'm preaching this message, right? I'm preaching this. Say, you preaching.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Isaac meditating. I pray today, Lord, for my daddy's servant. I pray today, Lord, that he find me the right wife. I pray to the Lord that she know how to cook bacon. I pray to the Lord that she fry some good chicken. I pray to the Lord that she put a lot of sugar in her sweet tea. I pray to the Lord that she take good care of the children. I pray to the Lord that she loves Jesus. But I pray to the Lord that above all those things that she is beautiful. I mean, what do you think Isaac is doing? I pray that she is a virtuous woman that memorizes script. No. I pray that girl look good. Amen. He's meditating. And in the middle of his meditation, the Bible says, look now. He's meditating. Look at verse number 63. Isaac went out to meditate in the field, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. All of a sudden, the music is playing. That's not camels, is it? All right, but it's going to work tonight. And I want you to imagine Isaac as he looks up. He's just been meditating, praying that for once his daddy's servant, please get, Lord, if this servant ever got it right, let it be this time, because this servant is picking out my wife. How many of you boys are glad that we don't live in those times anymore, all right? We get to pick out our own. But here they are. And all of a sudden he looks up, and here comes the camels. And he's not excited about camels. He's excited about who's on the camel. He looks up, and lo and behold, there is a girl on the camel. And I want you to imagine Isaac, when he sees her on the camel, he says a real spiritual Bible word. He says, hubba, hubba. And he sees her coming, and he goes, woo-wee. There's still something special about boys liking girls and girls liking boys. Somebody say amen. Now watch this now. He sees her coming, and he likes what he sees. Look at verse 64. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes
And when she saw Isaac, the Bible says, she lighted off the camel. She looks down at the, when she's on the camel, he sees her. He says, hubba, hubba. She sees him. And the Bible says she lighted off a camel. He looks so good. She smoked a cigarette. No, I'm just kidding. Not that kind of camel. But she jumps off the camel. Let me tell you something. If he was ugly, she wouldn't have gotten off that camel. She lighted off the camel. She thought, oh, my goodness, I never thought he was going to look this good. No, I'm just kidding. But here she goes. She's happy. Guess what? Abraham's at the house. He looks. Look at my son, Isaac. Look at my future daughter-in-law, Rebecca. You know what he's thinking? They're going to be some good-looking grandkids. You don't think Abraham's satisfied? Now guess who's the most satisfied? That servant. Because he's the one that left the house under all that pressure. Nervous, desperate, in need of help, begging God to come through. And when he got back home and found out, God answered. Isaac's happy. Rebecca's happy. Abraham's happy. And I'm sure happy. I wonder if he said something like this. There's nothing in the world like being led by the Lord. You under pressure tonight? I am. You trying to live for God? I am. You don't want to mess up? I don't. You raising kids? Pressure. You trying to balance the Christian life in 2022? Pressure. Try pastoring people. There might be 7 or 8 people in the building that go, if I were the pastor, I would do it this way. If you were the pastor, you'd resign. It's way more pressure than pleasure. You ever watch for somebody's soul? You ever been the most credible barrier between destruction and somebody else? You try pastoring one day with 200 people that all have an opinion. I tell you what you got to do. Get in the way. You don't have a chance. I remember this pandemic came up and I thought, I've got to lead my people through a pandemic when the very pandemic almost took my life. When do we open church? How many services do we have? What precautions do we take? So one person got to make that decision. You want that responsibility? Hey, you kids, if I were the parent, listen, you better be glad that you don't pay no rent, you don't pay for your cell phone bill, and even if it ain't Chick-fil-A and it's McDonald's, you still ain't paying it. We'd love to be you again. But guess what, parents? These kids are under pressure too. 3 out of 4 seniors graduate without their virginity. 20% of 15-year-olds have been involved immorally by the time they turn 15. Suicide, depression, gender confusion. It's at a high right now. These kids are under pressure, and there's a world that wants to make them victims who can never get victory over it for the rest of their life. I'm telling you what, there is a spot where God will lead you. But for everybody in the building, that leadership is not for free. You have to be in. Now, my question to every person in the building tonight, will you make a choice to get in the way? Not my way, not the world's way, complaining about how hard it is. Think about it this way. If I'll be in the way, the God of the universe will lead me. Whatever I sacrifice is worth that leadership. Let's bow our heads. I'm talking to people under pressure. There's not a person in this building that's not. How many say tonight, and I'm glad that some of you can put your hand up that couldn't last night, Pastor, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. If you know that, would you put your hand up? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hands down. Now, is there anybody in the building that said, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Listen, if you got saved last night, you don't have to put your hand up now. Anybody in the building say, Preacher, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that, would you let me pray for you? Anybody? Anybody? Don't be embarrassed. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, young man. God bless you. God bless you. We sure would like to help you. Make sure that you know for sure. The pastor would love to help you tonight. Put your hand down. Anyone else? Now, here's the last couple of questions. How many say, Pastor, I'm going to admit it to you tonight. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, but I agree with you. I agree with that servant. I'm living under pressure. Come on, all hands went up already. Come on, put your hand. Now, let me ask you one more question while you put your hands down. How many say, God's spoken to me? I want to be in the way. Oh, put your hand up all over the building. God bless you. Let's stand together. Lord, I pray that you just open up the windows of heaven and blow through here and bring every single Christian to this altar tonight who's serious about being in the way. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now listen to me tonight. The instruments are going to play. We're not going to play games, right? We don't play games, right? God spoke to your heart. You put your hand up tonight. Come on, let's come find your place on the altar. Let's mind the Lord. Come on, if you put your hand up tonight. Every single person, mind the Lord, would you? Come on, if there's somebody in your way, say, excuse me, I need to pray. Listen, how many games and gimmicks are you trying to play to figure out how to get it right? How's your prayer life? Whew. Tell God, God, I don't want to fail. We've laughed a lot about this subject and had a good time with it. But the truth of the matter is, this story was a big deal. And so is the Christian life. Won't you get desperate on that altar tonight and say, God, I'm tired of messing up. I'm tired of messing up. You young people, do you think you're just going to get lucky and have a good life? You're going to draw it up on a napkin and it's all going to turn out good? It doesn't work that way. There's a price to pay.
I don't claim to know everything that's going on in every life, but I know behind every person's face tonight, there's a story. And I know that when you leave here, it's easy to feel great about the Christian life. But it gets real when we walk up out of here. Oh, we need God. I can't tell you what's going to happen in Ukraine and Russia. I can't tell you what's going to happen with gas prices. I can't tell you what's going to happen with inflation. But I tell you this, if you'll commit every day to be in the way, I can tell you this, the Lord will lead you. What else do you need once you have God leading? You pray just as long as you need to. You want to try marriage without God's leadership? You want to try? You want to try finding a spouse in 2022 without God's leadership? Good luck. We need God. We need God. But God's not going to get up and lead you if you're not in the right place. Stay in church. Stay in this book. Stay on your knees. Stop trying your way. Let's do it God's way. Let's keep playing. There's some still on the altar. I believe the pastor's dealing with someone. So let's remain in a spirit of prayer. Would you like to take your seat? How about that? Hey, listen, when the pastor's not out here and he's dealing with someone, that means God's doing something. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go ahead, sister. Praise his holy name. Amen. Boy, if you're glad something happened, let's praise the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's praise the Lord tonight. God is at work. Pastor.